see what lies behind them. If Christie and Dean and the others aren't there, then we can start doing some serious worrying.
The green lever at the side of the vanadium steel door was in the down, locked position.
Usual. Stop it after a few inches.
Right. As soon as I give you the word.
Ryan gripped the P226 in his right hand and crouched on the floor, slightly to one side of the door.
Ready?
Go.
Nothing happened. He glanced sideways, seeing that JB was wrestling with the green lever, trying to move it upward.
Nothing. Like the mechanism's totally jammed.
Means that they're somewhere on the other side of it, and it jammed after they left this area. Or it could also mean that it's been jammed for countless years and they never jumped here. Ah, fire blast. Why can't things take an easy turn for once?
Manual override?
Is there one?
Sure, small panel at the side here.
The handle that could be used to wind up the sector was only 6 inches long, folded back out of sight. To lift the enormously heavy weight of the massive bomb-proof door, it had to be linked into an intricate system of gears and counterweights. JB flicked open the lid of the panel, unfolding the brass handle and setting it carefully in place. He gave it an experimental couple of turns, and the door trembled and moved upward a fraction of an inch.
Looking good. Take it away.
Brilliant machinery. Makes you wonder at the wonder of it. Some things they knew how to build in those days.
Ryan flattened himself on the floor, ready to squint out beneath the slowly ascending door. If this redoubt were like the majority of others that they visited, there would likely be a passage outside that would ultimately lead into the rest of the redoubt and then on into the open air. Raising the sector by hand was immensely slow and laborious. After 30 seconds, it wasn't much more than an inch off the concrete floor. Ryan held the Sig Sauer ready, laying his face flat, squinting under the door with his one ice blue eye, staring straight into a pair of dark brown eyes less than a foot away.
Damn it! You stoop kid! I might have put a full metal jacket round through your damn fool head!
After JB had finally raised the door and the companions were together again, Dean Cotter shuffled his feet.
Sorry, Dad. It's just that as soon as the door started to move, we all figured that it had to be you and JB there.
Suppose it had been one of those Japanese samurai guys we ran across a while back.
Well, I didn't think...
Right, you didn't think. Might have had a sword blade through your eye, Dean.
Christie put her arms around Ryan and hugged him tightly.
Come on, lover. Main thing is that we're all safe together. What happened back there?
Tried to burn us out. Flooded the complex with gasoline. Didn't quite make it. We jumped.
You both look like shit. Bad jump?
Yeah, one of the worst. Still feels like I've been put through the ringer.
The natives didn't get in after you? After we deprived them of their godhead, there was some serious grief. They seemed unusually persistent in their efforts. I believe that the poor wretches would gladly have given anything to have laid a hand on you.
Well, they came close to laying a hand on us, Doc. But that was all. Just one hand. And it's lying out by the gateway door.
Both Ryan and JB were still weak from the effects of the jump, and they elected to wait in the control area for an hour or so until they felt better. Dean was eager to explain how they'd opened the sec door while waiting for Ryan and JB to come along. It had worked perfectly well that time, and everyone had gone out into the corridor beyond.
Then we all heard this harsh snapping noise, like a half-track breaking, you know? And the whole door started to move on down.
Falling?
No, Dad, not like a free fall. That would have been a real triple hot pipe. Start a quake clean across Deathlands if it had crashed down.
So it came slowly?
Not real slowly. More sort of not fast. I don't know the right words for it. The control lever, the green one, didn't work. And there was no override outside in the passage. So we were fucked.
Since the controls were obviously shot, Ryan decided that it was safest to leave the sector raised 3/4 of the way toward the ceiling.
Someone could get in at the gateway, leaving us in deep shit.
Have to take that chance. Still smells like nobody's been in here for 100 years. You didn't find anything interesting?
Never got to do any exploring. Like Dean said, the door came down too quickly. Good job that you and JB stayed behind. If we'd all been together, we'd have been trapped on the wrong side of making another jump. And we don't have the nuke missile power to blast the sector open.
You feel any signs of life anywhere else in the redoubt, lover?
Christie shook her head, her mane of fiery hair dancing across her shoulders.
Nothing. I'd be surprised if I'm wrong.
Then we might as well get moving, friends. Let's go ahead on Orange, and we'll see what we see.
Orange meant having the option to draw your gun if you wanted. Red meant there was no choice. Even on green, it didn't mean you walked free as air without paying attention. Ryan led his friends out in a casual skirmish line, leaving the gateway behind. The passage was 15 feet wide, with concrete walls that rose vertically and then curved in toward the arched ceiling, at least 12 feet above their heads. There were sections of neon strip lights at intervals, casting a ghostly pallor over everyone. About 1 in 4 lights had failed over the years, but there was still plenty of light in the tunnel. Every 40 or 50 yards, small set cameras were fixed at ceiling height, some with tiny ruby lights showing that they were still dutifully obeying their programmer's instructions and sending pictures back to some hidden control center. The setup they found was similar to many of the other redoubts that they'd visited. The gateway was located at the farthest end of the line. To the left of the sec door, the corridor ran along for less than 50 featureless yards before ending in a wall of solid stone. There was the familiar feeling of being deep below the earth. Ryan strode along to the right. Christy was second, followed by Dean. Doc was fourth, his knees creaking at every step, while Jack patted silently at his heels. Then came Mildred, walking together with JB at the rear. There was no sign of life anywhere in the redoubt. The farther they went along the featureless passageway, the more lights had failed. But there had been no side corridors or doors on either side. The corridor seemed to wind ceaselessly around to the right and to climb slowly.
It's like being inside the shell of a snail. We've been walking for miles.
JB checked his wrist chron.
About 1.25 miles.
Certainly going up and up and around and around. Where we finish up?
Inside our own rectal orifices, if we go around many more times. I swear I'm starting to get dizzy. This layout remind you of anything, Doc?
I don't believe so. Though the simile proposed by young Master Calder was unusually accurate. What does it remind you of, Dr. Wyeth?
Place in New York. A big art gallery called the Guggenheim, after the guy who paid for it. Got the same kind of shape. You go up to the top and stroll down and around. And thoughts like that are bad, aren't they? Brings back a tiny part of what was lost. Last time I went there was with my Uncle Josh, Dad's younger brother. They had a beautiful exhibition of paintings by Chagall.
You feeling all right, Mildred? Want to take 5?
I'll be all right. Guess it must be that time of the month again. Always get a little weepy.
Wait till you reach my age, madam. Someone once said that old age is an island surrounded by death. I vow that there are days when I feel that I am slipping off that island.
I know what you mean, Doc. You and me. We're the only people in all Deathlands with such long pasts. Gets hard at times, knowing that everyone you ever knew has been dead for years.
I sometimes dream, you know, friends. Dream of my beloved wife, and sometimes of my children. I dream that they are full grown with their own children and grandchildren.
They probably lived good lives, Doc.
Perhaps, but they are still so long dead.
They found the plan of the redoubt at a junction about 350 yards farther along. It was bolted to the wall behind a plexiglass screen. They gathered around, peering at it in the semi-darkness, as 5 out of the 12 overhead lights had blown.
There's a Mattrans unit, and that's this corridor.
And this must be where we are now. Looks like the gateway has its own entrance. Get in and out without having to go through the rest of the redoubt.
Doesn't give us any clue where we are, does it?
They never do. Just the number at the top. Redoubt 47.
It seems to have had an unusually large laboratory complex. I wonder what fresh evils the White Coats were up to there.
Well, since we can't seem to get up there, I guess we'll never know.
Probably stripped bare anyway. This corridor sort of winds upward and around, kind of on the perimeter of the main part of the redoubt.
Dean had wandered off on his own, checking out the side passage.
It ends in a closed sec door. Lock shut, Dad! And there's no kind of control panel or lever or nothing.
Anything.
Maybe it could only be opened from the inside.
Or they could have had some kind of automatic device, like they used to have on garage doors.
Sure there's no way of opening it?
Go look for yourself. There's nothing there. Plain walls.
They stood for a moment, undecided what to do. Ryan looked ahead of them, referring again to the map.
Well, if we can't get into the rest of the redoubt, we might as well head straight for the exit. At least we can find out where we've ended up.
They walked past 3 more side corridors, but each was blocked off by vanadium steel sec doors, firmly and immovably locked shut.
Huh. Unusual. Wonder why the gateway section is so carefully isolated from the rest of the redoubt.
Has it occurred to you, Lover, that it might be the other way around?